Life is a gift from God, and what you do with it is your gift to Him. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us about living life on purpose.
If you begin your day saying, Lord, I want you to show me what matters most today. And I want you, Lord, to help me put godly margin in my life so that I don't waste my life on the trivial, Lord. I want to invest in that which matters most, the kinds of things that when I stand before you someday, I'll be glad I spent my life doing those things. Lord, show me what those things are.
Few people have a plan for their lives. Most are spectators, watching their lives unfold one day at a time. As a result, many end up discouraged and disillusioned. But it doesn't have to be this way. You can live your life on purpose, and it begins with letting Jesus take control. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our series, Living Life on Purpose, will help you discover God's plan for your future and allow you to intentionally live the life He has created you to live. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Balancing Our Health.
Here we consider the importance of margin, and we consider the fact that what God has given me is sustainable. And we consider the scripture, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God will with it make a way of escape. So how many of you believe that God is going to give you enough grace to get done what He wants you to get done? All right? And He's going to do that and allow you to have margin even for some of the unexpected things in your life. How do you live with margin in your life so that stress is not taking its toll on your body like a car that never has had a change of oil? Well, I want you to see two principles this morning. Letter A, we need to schedule quiet time with God. Now, some of you have gotten into this idea and you live on this urgency addiction and this adrenaline addiction to the point that you think if you stop to have prayer and if you read your Bible, the whole world's going to get messed up. You're not going to get done what you need to get done if you take time. And I'm telling you this morning, you've got to have time sitting at Jesus' feet if there's going to be real margin and space in your life. The Bible says in Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He, Jesus, went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. You see, Jesus teaches us that there's so much to get done that we need to start it all by getting with Him and saying, Lord, tell me what matters most today. Tell me where you want me to spend my time today and your life today. And spend time at the feet of Jesus. Listen, my friend, there is a trap called drivenness that will drive you away from Jesus, and it should drive you to Jesus. One great theologian said, I have so much to do today, I must spend 4 hours in prayer before I attempt doing the rest. Putting the big rock in the jar first. The answer is not always trying harder, but to comprehend the work of the cross and to live with a vital awareness of the grace and wisdom of God in your life every single day. Schedule quiet time with God. Secondly, schedule time for God-given priorities. So you say, Lord, what matters most to you today? What do you want me to focus on today? What are the things that you want me to really spend time on in this day? Now, some of you have heard of Vilfredo Pareto. You've heard of the Pareto principle, maybe 20% of the people do 80% of the work, 20% of the people give 80% of the money, 20% of the people do 80% of these things, and so forth. And maybe you've heard that over the years. It's called the Pareto principle. It's a principle that this Italian economist studied, and I believe it's fairly accurate in my studies of life and involvement in various projects. For example, about 20% of how a person spends his time yields about 80% of the fruit of that time, or even his income. About 20% of a person's mail is important. About 80% of it is junk. About 20% of what we own is absolutely essential for our life and for our comfort. About 80% of it is in excess. And so what we do with God is we say, Lord, you are the Lord of my life. Show me where to spend my quality time. How can I pursue life in a way that will please you? And we say, Lord, I want to have you help me focus in on the main goals of life that are pleasing to you. Too many Christians are spending their time frivolously, wasting 80% of their time on nothingness. And God says, I want you to focus your time in on that which matters most. There will always be time for the will of God in your life. Now, Jesus taught this principle in John 4:34. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So Jesus, our ultimate example, said, look, what I want to do is the will of God the Father, the one that sent me. And that's what we say every day. God, what do you want me to do today? How can I focus on what matters most today? Jesus said in John 6:38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. So you say, Lord, I want health and vitality and wisdom, not so I can sit around watching Starsky and Hutch and Love Boat all day, but so that I can do your will today. Jesus said in John 4, I must needs go through Samaria, because that day was the day when the woman at the well was going to be saved. And he had a purpose in mind that day to go and tell somebody about Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. If you begin your day saying, Lord, I want you to show me what matters most today. And I want you, Lord, to help me put godly margin in my life so that I don't waste my life on the trivial, Lord. I want to invest in that which matters most, the kinds of things that when I stand before you someday, I'll be glad I spent my life doing those things. Lord, show me what those things are. And I'm going to tell you something. When you live your life that way, when you put in your life those things that are really, really important from the Lord, you're going to find that it will be easy to say no to the bowling league and the bridge club and all the rest of the stuff this life offers you. It's easy to say no when there's a greater yes burning inside. When you are convinced in your heart, today I will spend time with my wife, and today I will spend time with my God, and today I'll take my seventh grade daughter to McDonald's, and today I'll take my ninth grade son and help him with his math, and today I will spend time in the Bible. And when you are convinced that that is God's will for your life and you place those godly margins in your life, then it will be easy to say no when there's a greater yes burning inside. And even the Son of Man taught us this in his schedule. He oftentimes said, let us pull apart. And many times great leaders will attribute their success not to things they said yes to, but to things they said no to as they centered in on the main thing that God had for their life. Now, I want to give you four suggestions today about four main priorities from Scripture that all of us need to make sure are there in our lives so that the other things don't rob our time. First, you need to make sure you have a real walk with God. I'm talking about where you open this book and say, God, speak to me. I'm talking about when you pray to him. I'm talking about a real time with God each and every day. Second, you need to make sure that you have time with your family. No one ever gets to age 60 or 70 and says, wow, I wish I had more time with my boss making those trips and those TDYs, and wish I could have given some more time to my company. But nearly everyone says, I wish I would have had more time with my children. Take this message to heart today and put into your life the big rocks into the jar. Care for your family. Thirdly, labor at work. Every one of us have opportunity to work, and this is a priority of life. If a man does not work, the Bible says he should not eat, and labor at that. And when you're there, give it 110%. But let me tell you something. Your job should not be the idol you bow down to.
You're listening to Daily in the Word with Pastor Paul Chappell and our series called Living Life on Purpose. The second half of today's message is coming up next.
Do you ever have trouble balancing all the competing demands for your life, from family to friends to church to career to finances? Balancing life is a challenge, and that's why I've written the book Stewarding Life. This book will challenge and equip you to strategically invest your most valuable resources for God's eternal purposes. You see, life is God's gift to you, but what you do with it is your gift to God. The book Stewarding Life can be yours today as you make a donation to the Daily in the Word broadcast. Simply go to paulchappell.com and order yours today.
Now let's get back to more great teaching with Pastor Paul Chappell.
Your work should not be the idol. Your vocation should not be the God of life. Fellas, we get this mixed up. We find our identity in our work success, in our salary amount, in our job title, in where our office is. We find our identity in how many stripes we have on our shoulder or how many people answer to us. We need to be very careful of that subtle trap and realize that job is a means to an end. And the end is to glorify God. And the end is to support your family. And the end is to support missionaries. And the end is to do whatever God wants you to do. Listen, we don't live to work. We live to glorify God, you see. So when you're at work, you be the best employee and employer there. But when you're away from work, recognize you don't spend that rest time, that margin time, doing everything still for work. And spend some time on these priorities: God, your family, and then number four, don't forget the priority of worshiping and serving God. You know, a lot of Christians, they view church attendance and Bible reading as an appendage that they want to cut off themselves. They say, "That's right, Pastor Chappell, I need some margin. I'll be at Yosemite the next 17 Sundays worshiping God my way." And they're missing out on the whole thing. They're missing out on the fact that we need to hear from God and open our hearts to the Lord and not let the incidental things of this life crowd out the most important things of our life. And so every one of us need to make sure that we have biblical priorities that allow for the margin that God intends in our lives each and every day. So we eat for nourishment, we plan for margin and for spiritual priorities in our life. That means cutting out sometimes the frivolities of this life and focusing on what matters most. Then I want you to see, thirdly, as we consider this subject of stewarding health today, God gives us a third principle in the Bible, and it's called rest. Rest for replenishment. Now, I know some of you guys that are 20 and 30, you're going to sleep right through this, right? Some of you guys are like, rest? Come on, man, let's go play tackle football. We'll just take notes on this and pull it out later in life, okay? But I want you to listen to this, because rest is one of God's great principles for his people. And it's a key, I believe, to having strength for the journey that God gives to us. So look at Exodus 23, 12. God says, 6 days shalt thou do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thine handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. And Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. All right, so again, someone goes, hey, that's Old Testament. I love it when people say that. Excuse me, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Sabbath, we don't worship on the Sabbath. We don't go to church on Saturday. You're right. Congratulations. You're a scholar. We're here on Sunday celebrating the resurrection of Jesus on Sunday. By the way, how many of you are glad we serve a risen Savior? But just because we don't worship on Saturday doesn't mean that the biblical principle of Sabbath rest is annulled. God says, I want you to have a day of rest. Now, in recent months, I've gotten serious about that to the point that I've said to our staff, look, I want to make sure that if someone in our church ministry drives a bus or teaches a class or they're throwing hours of themselves into ministry on Sunday, that they're not spending all day Saturday doing a bunch of ministry stuff, except maybe for a great occasional time here and there. They need to have a day of rest, focusing on the Lord, focusing on their family, maybe a day when they sleep in just a little bit. I want to make sure that we focus on biblical priority. You see, Gordon MacDonald said something I think is very helpful. He said, we do not rest because our work is done. We rest because God commanded it and created us to have a need for it. Now, let me tell you something. I didn't understand this for a long, long time. I'm still learning. But if you have to wait till everything's done to take a day off, you're never going to take a day off. If you have to wait till everything's done to rest, you're just flat not going to rest. So we don't rest because, oh, good, everything's crossed off my to-do list. Nothing's ever completely crossed off my to-do list. I'm not going to rest, and you're not going to rest because everything's done. You're going to do it because God said do it. And take the time to pull apart, focus on him, and focus on the matter of rest. So rest. Now, we rest for the matter of replenishment. So let me give you a few thoughts about rest. I think you've seen God says, I want you to have rest. Notice letter A, physical rest then should be planned. Physical rest should be planned. Mark 6:31, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest for a while. I like the phrase desert place. God does some good things in desert places. He said, come apart into a desert place. Hey, stop complaining about living in a desert place. Say, well, Pastor, the wind blows. We have to buy a lot of hairspray out here. Oh, my soul. I don't have to. I mean, come on. You know? Oh, I know that. I know that sometimes we joke about that. But the desert place, Jesus said, hey, let's get away. You know what he's saying? Let's get away from all the cares of this world, fellas. He's saying to his disciples, let's go to a desert place. And notice what he says, and let's rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. Now, let me just encourage you to plan some times of rest. It might be Saturday morning. It might be, you know, some other day. I don't know your schedule. But plan it appropriately. Make sure, you know, so many people watch adrenaline-pumping newscasts and movies, you know, and they're watching sci-fi horror flicks, and then they try to go to sleep. And I believe that rest is God-ordained and that we need to take some time to wind down. I know at our house, especially on Saturday night, boy, we just start winding down early. No TV, no activities. We didn't let the teenagers go to their friend's house. We just kind of wound down. We knew that we wanted to have rest as we entered into the Lord's Day. It was a priority and still is in our lives. And there's three benefits of sleep in your notes. First, sleep boosts the immune system. Second, adequate sleep lowers cortisol levels. And thirdly, adequate sleep improves brain function. And the Lord knows we all need more of that. You know, many times it's amazing how that when you are physically depleted, you can't seem to solve a problem. Maybe on an airplane, maybe on a construction site, maybe with me writing sermons. And you're just, I can't get this done. And you say, I'm going to do what God says, and I'm going to get some rest. And boy, the next day, God begins to give the answers. You see, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord. Physical rest must be planned. But then I want you to see as we close this morning, and this is most important, spiritual rest is offered. Spiritual rest is offered to all who will receive it. Look at Matthew 11:28. These are the words of Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, there are some people in this world, good night, they've got 6 weeks of vacation, they've got several weeks of personal leave, they've got campers and boats and ski-doos and timeshares in Las Vegas, and they can go and do stuff all the time, and they've got plenty of time to have fun in golf and skiing and resting, and recreation is their middle name, but they come back from those trips, and they'll be on the freeways tonight coming back from Vegas and driving back down from Yosemite. And in their heart, though they slept on a good bed last night, there's a restlessness. Something's not right still. Because you can get a lot of rest and you can eat carrots until you turn orange. But if you don't know Jesus, something's not right. And that's why Jesus stepped onto the landscape of this universe 2,000 years ago, and he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And you, if you'll come to me, Jesus said, you will find rest for your soul, the kind of rest that no seminar can give, the kind of rest that no drug can give, the kind of rest that no counseling can give. My friend, if you don't know that your sins are forgiven and you have a home in heaven, how can you pillow your head at night without Jesus? Jesus said, I'll tell you about rest. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, I looked up rest in the dictionary. There's four meanings, and I think they all have a spiritual correlation to them. Rest. First meaning is to cease from action, motion, labor, or exertion. In a similar way, God says, hey, stop all your self-help stuff and come to me. Stop trying your seven sacraments, your 19 Sunday school pins, your march of dimes, all the stuff you're doing to appease your soul, and stop it all and come unto me, and I will give you rest. Secondly, rest is described as freedom from that which wearies or disturbs us. He says, I want you to come to me in freedom. I want you to give me your burdens and your cares and find my peace and my joy. Thirdly, the definition of rest, something that is fixed and settled. Oh, I got to tell you something. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 that your soul is sealed until the day of redemption. That is to say, once you accept Jesus as your Savior, He is going to hold you in His hand. Nothing can take you away from Jesus. You are secure forever and ever and ever. That means, hey, you don't have to put your head on the pillow at night wondering, wonder if I'll go to heaven or not. It's been settled, sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, and you can rest in that. Fourth, rest is defined as being confident and trustful. In other words, I mean when this world is raining buckets of problems on you, as a Christian, you can have rest in the promises of the Word of God, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Someone says, well, I got foreclosure papers, I got pink slips, I got problems. But you know what, my friend? If you have the Lord and His Word, you have promises. And you can hold and you can rest in His promises. Now look at what this theologian A.W. Tozer said as we close this morning. And listen to these words. Jesus calls us to His rest, and meekness is His method. The meek man cares not at all who is greater than he, for he has long ago decided that the esteem of the world is not worth the effort. The rest Christ offers is the rest of meekness, the blessed relief which comes when we accept ourselves for what we are and cease to pretend. It will take some courage at first, but the needed grace will come as we learn that we are sharing this new and easy yoke with the strong Son of God Himself. So God says, I want you to come and find rest in me. You might be here this morning and you say, I don't think I needed a lot of this sermon. But my friend, if you don't have Christ as your Savior, then you don't have rest for your soul. There's one more verse in these notes, and it's awesome. I don't want you to miss it. I'm in a hurry. We're almost done, but look at these notes here. Notice this, Hebrews 4:9, because this is good. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. The Jews had 613 laws. They had circumcision. They had the Pharisees making more laws every day. And they tried and tried and tried, but they felt far away from God. They had no rest. And so the Bible says, there remains a rest for you, and there is rest in the person and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 10, you can cease from your works. You don't have to crawl up the steps of the Roman Catholic Cathedral. You don't have to bow down before the Buddha. You don't have to go to the church over and over again trying to find acceptance from God. You don't give money to go to heaven. You don't get baptized to go to heaven. You don't keep working at it to try to be a better person in order to go to heaven. He says very clearly, you can cease from your own works and you can enter into the rest of God through Jesus Christ. My friend, have you been born again? Have you received Christ as your Savior? I mean, just come and say, Lord, I'm tired of working. I'm tired of trying. I can't be good enough anyway. And Jesus Christ will accept you just the way you are. And He will forgive you, and He will come into your life, and He will give you rest. And He'll help you clean up some of that junk you mess with. But let me just tell you what, you don't have to get all that taken care of on your own and then get saved. You can cease from your labors, and you can find rest in Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. visit us at allchapel.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.